Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Network Classics right here on Primetime with Sean Mooney. As we continue to offer more great content every week. Also, you know, we've got our original episodes coming up on Wednesday. We got a great one this week. Guy Evans from Nitro is going to join us, and you do not want to miss that. Some great behind the scenes on putting that book together and the reaction it has had over the years since. And also, you know, we have the Vault episodes that are released every Saturday. We had some great ones as of late. But right now we're going to focus on our network classic, and this week it is from Monday Night Raw, March 15th, 1993, and it's an interesting episode. We will get to it in just a second. Meantime, there is a lot going on, even before we start talking about what we're dealing with still with the stay-at-home orders and folks getting a little stir-crazy. I am among them, and I get to go out every day. I'm still working every day, but there are a lot of limitations that we've had to deal with, but it's been a really weird week as far as what's happening with the WWE. I'm sure that you have heard that they had, it was basically a bloody Wednesday last week where they laid off a number of superstars with the company. But not only that, behind the scenes, a lot of folks got furloughed, as they call it. But from what I hear, a lot of them will not be coming back in a effort here to save a lot of money for the company. You know, the XFL has folded up, and now that's going to into bankruptcy. But I guess it's all not surprising, considering what's going on, and you're seeing a lot of companies having to lay people off, and it's just awful. Besides what this deadly virus is doing to our country and around the world. But looking with the WWE, and boy, some of the names, it's pretty shocking. Some of the people that they let go, among them Drake Maverick, Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Heath Slater, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, No Way Jose, Mike Chioda, he's been with them forever among the referees, and Mike Kanellis. Maria Kanellis, EC3, Aiden English, Leo Rush, Primo. That's just a few of the people, because I mentioned a lot of people behind the scenes and you know, people that have been with the company for decades. So that is just devastating. And then also, for me personally too, and I know many, many other fans in the world of professional wrestling, not just of the WWE, the loss of Howard Finkel, who passed away this past week. Just awful. And I have talked about Howard before, and I worked with him initially when I got to the WWF. A lot of people don't know, you know, Howard played a major role behind the scenes. He was always doing other jobs. It wasn't just him being a, you know, the voice of the WWF in the ring. But he also, like when I got there, he ran the event center. He kept it all, you know, in order, would have this big book because, of course, we didn't have laptops back then or anything like that. And these big legal, you know, financial binders that he would carry around. And they would have all of the, you know, the superstars' names in there and the promos that they needed to do. And he would take this to TV and he would have it and keep it all in order. And this guy had to do this promo and this number of promo, the storylines, and he would keep it all straight. And then, of course, when we were back in Stanford recording all the event centers, he would keep a close eye and make sure that we got it all out there. And had a big influence on me early on to just learning the business and also announcing. I tell the story initially when he just had me project like I was in the ring doing the event center. And finally, I just couldn't do it anymore. I told him, Howard, can let me try it my way here and we'll see how it goes. And fortunately, that worked out. But he's a ring announcer. So, but I loved him. And Howard was always, you know, I got a chance to speak to him years later and ran into him a couple times. And he was always just so gracious. And you've heard the comments on Twitter and all the other social platforms. He will long be remembered, not only for being the voice of the WWF ring, you know, and new champion, you know, just one of a kind. If you knew him, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but just sad news. I knew that he had been ill for a long time, but his loss, it's a big one in the world of professional wrestling, and I know the entire world of professional wrestling is mourning over his loss. So rest in peace, my friend. And I'll talk a little bit more about Howard in the in our episode on Wednesday. With that coming up, we've got Guy Evans as our guest this week, so the author of Nitro. So check that out. We'll talk about a few other things in there as well. But this episode we're talking about for Network Classics is it's an interesting one. I won't say it's a good one, but there's a reason why we should make that clear. This is an episode from Monday Night Raw, March 15th, 1993, and we're just about 3 weeks away from WrestleMania 9, which, if you remember, is the WrestleMania that took place in Las Vegas, and it was all, you know, themed with the togas and all that. I was gone at that point. I think I was just about leaving at this point in time, just before WrestleMania 9. But here is an episode. It took place at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York, and it was basically snowed out. They had a blizzard at the time, and so a lot of the guys that were scheduled to do the show couldn't get there. And as always, the WWF/WWE, they have contingency plans. This happens not all the time, but it would happen where there would be some kind of an event, weather-wise or something, where guys couldn't get to places and they don't have to improvise, and they actually had to do it here. Your announced team for this show is Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan, and Rob Bartlett, once again, who does a Vince McMahon imitation throughout this show, because Vince is not there. And this team that they threw together wasn't something because of the blizzard. Vince was not going to be there anyway because he was being honored by the Michael Landon Foundation. And that was, you know, an organization that was all about supporting cancer research and leukemia and that sort of thing. And Vince had been honored because the company had been active in raising money for the Michael Landon Foundation. So he was being honored, and Hulk Hogan was going to be there to present him this award. So Vince is not at the Civic Center, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie that night. So they had obviously scheduled to have Gorilla and Bobby be together, and Bartlett, of course, was one of the regular hosts. I think they make mention in the show that Randy Savage was also at the award ceremony. I don't know if that was the case. It might have been just something that they put in there because he couldn't get there for whatever reason. Who knows? But this is the thrown together show. You can tell they have limited number of talent that they've got that actually made it to the Civic Center for this. And it features Razor Ramon, who's there that night in a squash match. Also, Typhoon is there. And Bob Backlund, and this is the only real superstar match one-on-one anyway. Bob Backlund takes on Papa Shango, and the Nasty Boys, you know, end up making it there. And they face the Head Shrinkers in a tag team match. So that's it. That's all they got for this one. And they've got to fill up an hour. And they do the best they can with this one. But it just shows an example of this company, which always had to be able to react to whatever situation, because guys would get hurt and wouldn't be able to make a show somewhere. This wasn't a really unusual situation. It is when an entire event would be in jeopardy, but it's a company that knew, you know, had all the time. Guys would go out for whatever reason, and they had to be able to fill the holes. And that's what they did this night. So that's what you have happening here with this edition of Monday Night Raw. As it goes, you know how we usually do this. I'm going to give you a little time if you haven't queued it up yet. But what you want to do is you go to the WWE Network, of course, and then go to In-Ring. You see all those little places you can click up on the top of the page there. Go to In-Ring, and then there is Raw right there. And then, you know, of course, you go and you find the last scene or whatever it says there, and you go down to the years, and there's a lot of years of Raw. It could take us a while to get through all these as watch-alongs, but we're doing it in order as from the beginning. And so we're still in 1993, folks, and just go down, you know, click on 1993, and then find March 15th, 1993, and that is the episode that we're going to watch. So we'll do a quick pause here, and if you're not queued up, do so. If not, just hold on. We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. And we are back. I hope you're all queued up and ready to go, because we just can't wait to get to this episode of Monday Night Raw, March 15th, 1993. Ready? 3, 2, 1, play. And we come right out to a graphic live, Mid-Hudson Civic Center, Poughkeepsie, New York. So this is a live show. And we start right out from the floor with Gorilla Monsoon. Bobby Heenan is there. And we see a graphic there that says, not Vince McMahon. And I think we all know that is not Vince. That is Rob Bartlett doing his best, Vince. And he says, yeah, Gorilla says he even smells like Vince. Well, maybe that's the cologne he's referring to. I don't quite remember Vince having the elbow behind the back very often, but that's Rob's impression. And now this is Poughkeepsie, apparently, they're showing us, and they're showing the snow. And a few feet dropped there. That was not Gorilla Monsoon's Cadillac parked out front. That was the one he drove was black and had the big lady on the front. on the hood. But he's listening as he goes through the card here. And Rob just stands there doing his Vince. And as you probably recognize who that is if you ever watched Primetime Wrestling, they would often refer to the Rosati sisters. It was they were Bobby Heenan's foils. And of course, Gorilla loved the Rosati sisters. He loved their devotion to the WWF. See, and they're talking about where Vince is. And there he goes. He brings us into the show as we get into the graphic and the animation. Monday Night Raw. That's about as good as the impression gets, but you're going to hear it throughout the show. As we roll into this, Monday Night Raw, and this is a live version, folks. So here we go. And, Snow didn't stop these folks from showing up, and it seems like a pretty energetic group as they start out. And Razor Ramon made it as he's coming out here for a singles competition. The man, the bad guy. And there is the Fink in the ring as he's going to take out Ross Greenberg. I don't know why that said Russ. I think it was Ross Greenberg. Get your shot at being on Raw and then they spell your name wrong. Thanks. But probably the only people that were really upset was his family. Yeah, he says, I'm glad they got the mic in there. It's just a little warning to this guy as he passes on the gold to be held. I think that guy is going to definitely take care of that jewelry. And Scott Hall goes to work. Ooh, boy, that was a good slap. Good chop. Just tosses the guy across the ring. Man, Scott's in great shape here. And really riding a good push here. Just catches Greenberg and again tosses him over there. I don't know what he's doing. Rob's trying. The thing is that when Rob got into these, man, he had to, it wasn't like he could do one little bit. He had to keep it up throughout the whole show. It was a big stretch here by Ramon. And he's locks him up here, looking for a submission. And see how long this is going to last. So he's just toying with Greenberg. Noogies, yes. That's a word Vince would always use, right? Greenberg. Grabs him by the throat and just slams him to the canvas. It's a pretty short matchup here. But as I said, the original lineup, a lot of it couldn't make it to Raw. They would usually try and stack these things pretty much. They'd fill them up with superstars. Even if they didn't have great featured matchups, they liked to put the guys in the ring together. But they didn't really have the option here, and they had to reach out for some enhancement talent. Drop Greenberg right back on his head. And he's had enough. Rays are set to wrap this night up anyway. As he prepares, as Bobby said, for the Razor's Edge. Brings Greenberg up. And gets him in that cross and drops him down. And there's the cover. So we got a chance to see Razor a little bit of work here tonight. As he prepares to go collect his gold again and his toothpick. What if they gave him back the same toothpick, or did he start a new one? He's a bad guy. So pretty much quick work here as we get another shot of the snow. Monday Night Raw will return. That is not a Rosati sister. All right. There he is, Typhoon in singles competition. Fred Ottman. I was yet, whenever I see Fred, and I just remember him telling me about, you know, his hair, that he, one of the biggest pains in the ass for him was the fact that he had to dye it all the time. Not weight-wise, he had to dye his hair because in his family, you know, everybody went prematurely gray. And he said he was pretty damn gray at this point and had to color his hair all the time. And that would include, imagine, touching up that beard as well. That is when he would say Monday Night Raw. That was probably the closest we'd hear him doing to Vince. But that was the thing on these shows, is when Rob would go into one of his impressions, which if in short takes, you know, when he was on Imus or anything, it was good. He would do like one bit. But if he would start something with one of these guys, they'd have him go through the night. It was too much. It was too much for anybody. I mean, so you've got Typhoon here taking on L.A. Gore, he went by. And Gore, pretty big guy. I mean, but dwarfed by Typhoon here. So he just tosses him around like he's a rag doll. And apparently, according to these notes, where we got these from blogofdoom.com. Again, I want to give them credit. They do a great job. The notes here are saying that Gore was a big jack dude and did some work in the indies, mainly in the IWCCW. So they picked him up for this night. And it looks like Typhoon getting set here for a little snap suplex on that. I've mentioned before that, you know, Fred could move in the ring, man, despite his girth. He could get around in there. And he prided himself in that, ooh, man, that was pretty tight on that. That almost took his head off, broke his neck. And this one is not going to last much longer either. Which I'm surprised. I would have thought they had to go longer in these. They had to fill it up, fill this hour up. Slams into Gore. Hard in the corner. Typhoon goes right after him, squashes him against the turnbuckles. And a big splash. Bobby says that'll melt the snow. Good. Natural disasters. as they're moving along here. Oh, raw meat. So anyway, that was another one. We got a chance to see Typhoon in action. That was another big squash match. And they put Bobby Heenan in the ring. Got to fill some time, and they didn't have anybody to do the interview. Gene was not going to be there. As Alfred sneaks in here for a little Ico Pro action. That's right. Take it from Brett the Hitman Hart, Ico Pro. I always love these. Mm-hmm. I used to love to see those on a Saturday morning, Bobby Heenan. And Bobby Heenan has to take over, and that's why they love Bobby. Bobby could do whatever you asked him to do at any time. So they got the Giant Gonzalez, led by his manager, Harvey Whippleman. A stark contrast between those two physical presences. Boy, that was a 90s cut. And one of the most ridiculous outfits that anybody ever had to wear. And there was a lot of fabric in there for this one. Yeah, and the Giant comes in over the top rope, which, as you've probably heard before, that Andre did not like when the other big guys did that. He didn't like it when Big John Studd did it. I'm sure he was not pleased seeing the Giant Gonzalez step over the top rope. So Harvey Whippleman, spent some time in the WWF. They passed him around a bit between some superstars. Didn't have the impact that some of the other managers had. Jimmy Hart, of course, Bobby the Brain Heenan, no question. But Whippleman had a decent run in the WWF. But Bobby Heenan, stepping in, having to take over. Gene may have been down in Florida, hopefully, not in the snow somewhere. Because I tell you, if he would have been in Stanford doing something, they would have made it to Poughkeepsie. A lot of these guys that were able to make it to this event probably were in the tri-state area doing house shows or something. So they were able to drive them in. So this is when they have this big push going between. That's an interesting shot. Show that giant hand. But they had the Undertaker and the Giant going at it in a matchup that was headed for WrestleMania 9. There you go. He's going to be in it. Oh, I got it. Yeah, the Giant. Eight feet tall, man. That's a bit of a stretch, but, I guess you just pad the numbers. Yeah, Bobby trying to stir it up here, trying to maybe pit Whippleman against Paul Bearer. All right, this is the portion where he actually gets to speak. Oh, boy. that's all he had to remember. Maybe he was supposed to say giant burial, but, you know, Bobby, being the pro he is, filled it in. Hello, is this thing on? Bobby. The always entertaining Bobby Heenan. And the Hulkster. He was busy that night, remember? He's handing Vince a plaque or something. Here we go. That's right, he's back. Team's up. Remember, this is what was going on. Although it would be short-lived. Well, so here's our WrestleMania promo. Bret Hart putting the WWF World Championship on the line, and we all know what happened with that one. Hulk Hogan would be involved in the finish of that encounter. But it's all history as we return once again back live at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. You know, it sounded like the roads were, you know, pretty clear. I mean, how else did all those folks get there? Maybe public transportation coming in from the other boroughs. As Papa Shango. And if you've watched the run here we've had of this period of time, Papa Shango was getting a pretty damn big push. The Godfather, as many knew him. But in this case, it's Papa Shango. There, just keep saying Monday Night Raw. There we go. And in comes Bob Backlund. A very strange period of Bob Backlund's career. We're talking 1993, folks. And if you were a wrestling fan in the, you know, 80s, Bob Backlund was a big-time superstar with the originally with the WWWF. Was a champion for a long time, I think second only to Bruno Sammartino. And I don't know, by 84 or so, it just had kind of passed him by in a sense. And he had left the WWF for, I think, 8 years before he had come back. And at this point, he's back with the WWF. Not really sure what he had expected. Now, he would end up appearing at WrestleMania, making his first appearance at WrestleMania, but it would basically be a quick match. And it just was never quite the same for him. And it was just as though, you know, he tried. Remember they had that gimmick where he turns heel, where he starts attacking people and he just can't believe that that was within him. You know, he'd look at his hands after and go, oh my God, what did I just do? Thinking, you know, they had a match with Bret Hart where he did that, where they really started it all. But, you know, just the world had completely changed for him. He kind of was the old school, how the business worked, and still had to earn a living. But he just couldn't adjust to it, I guess. But the guy's 70 now, 70 years old now. And I don't think he's too far out of shape as where he is right now. I mean, this guy, his entire life has been devoted to physical fitness. And he was a tremendous amateur wrestler. Was a champion in you know, college wrestling, Division II. As he works at Papa Shango here. Really interesting guy, though. And I've seen him in a couple of shows where you hear all this commotion, and then you look over at these signing shows, and he's doing this, you know, 3-point handstand, and 70 years old, splits his legs, comes back down. I mean, and back up, just incredible. There's a lot of 30-year-olds can't do what he can do. So we got this matchup going on. And I wonder if this had been originally scheduled or did they throw it together? Just call Papa Shango Kamala. Jeez. Whatever comes up. And of course, Heenan loved, you know, he called Backlund Opie. Kind of played on that whole thing. But he always used a lot of those amateur wrestling moves in his matches, which was, you know, very entertaining. But it wasn't what the crowd had become used to. As Rob Bartlett continues to go on with his Vince imitation. Uncut. There you go. Headbutt to the groin area. So this is your superstar matchup, because all we've seen at this point is a couple of squash matches with some enhancement talent. So we've got Papa Shango facing Bob Backlund here. And I was kind of surprised at what happened with Papa Shango here, because, you know, he was in all of the shows. You'd see him at Superstars and Challenge, but they never really went anywhere with it. And maybe just visually it was good TV, they thought, where he'd come out with the smoking skull. But, you know, and I've said before, I liked it. I don't know why. Probably was lame to most people. But it just never really did much. Like I said, it was good. It was good visuals when they had on TV. They get that corner shot with the skull as he grinds away here on Backlund. Oh, that headlock trying to choke him out. And he keeps going. Got his legs up on the rope using his leverage here. Not sure what that did. But Mike Chioda sees the rope shaking there, goes over and takes a look, gets back into it. Chioda, one of the people let go who had been with the company, God, 30 years? It had to be. He was there when I was there coming up. And one of those who has now been put on furlough. They're saying they're saving about $4 million a month in salaries by doing this. But I can't imagine that was easy. You know, they're thinking that they had to sit around in a meeting and decide who we can let go and who stays. Man, that must not have been fun, especially when you got people that have been around there for so long. And they know that, you know, these guys have families and mortgages and lifestyles to support. And suddenly it's over. Backlund wraps up Shango for a surprising victory here. Rolls out quickly, but a legit win here for Bob Backlund. It's hard to hear Howard's voice here. You heard it in the background. So he announces Backlund winning this one. So he skedaddles. So now we're going to get a chance to see Mean Gene as they continue to push tickets and also pay-per-view for WrestleMania 9 taking place at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. WrestleMania 9 report. Nyko Pro, we're still pushing Nyko Pro, professional bodybuilding program. I can't even imagine. I know there's people out there that know the numbers, but boy, millions lost with that company. As Gene brings us the lineup here, Sunday, April 4th, we're about 3 weeks out when this show was broadcast. Gene about 3 weeks away from donning a toga. There you go. That's right. They're going to wear togas. It is a giant toga party. I wonder how people did that at home, too. Maybe they had their WrestleMania parties with toga parties. That was big then, right? Not. But maybe they brought it back. Toga parties. So you got Bret Hart going to face Yokozuna for the WWF Championship. Mr. Fuji with the shaved head. Oh, boy. Some more brutality. And you see who's conducting the interview here. You got Ray Rougeau. Raymond Rougeau from the Rougeau Brothers. Became an announcer for a long time after this, doing Canadian, French-Canadian. Oh, man. See, Yoko didn't, pull up so much on that one. That was a brutal. Oof. Okay, you got the Mega Maniacs. Of course, Jimmy Hart, who had become the manager for that team after feeling for Brutus the Barber Beefcake and the attack by IRS with that Halliburton case that everybody used to carry around back then. He used one and on Brutus's head. Of course, playing off that horrible parasailing accident and the surgeries that Brutus had. And the fear was that his face would collapse by taking a beating. And so Ted DiBiase, of course, teamed with IRS, Money Inc., facing the Mega Maniacs, as they are the tag team champions at the time. There's that Halliburton. The thing I already looked at had taken quite a beating. Probably Brutus's head attributed to some of those dents. Yep, everybody. Everywhere he goes. That's all they're talking about. Undertaker facing the giant Gonzalez. Got to give it to Gene, man. He knew how to sell him. So this is a huge promo for WrestleMania 9, and they just pull out all the stops with special promos they cut with Paul Bearer and The Urn and, of course, The Undertaker. That was I love that background. Isn't that cool? They got the smoke going. Yeah, Undertaker here at this point, man, in his prime, and just lighting up arenas wherever he went. And literally, when those flames would go and that music, that bell would toll, all the folks in the arena knew it was coming, and it was going to be a great show, no matter what. Rest in peace. Yeah. I'm getting it all. Oh, this is when they had Luger still in this narcissist phase. You can do it on pay-per-view. Exactly. All right, Gene. Getting it done once again. So they, when they did that promo, of course, Bob Barker. Gene, I'll guarantee that was Gene. Nobody fed that line to him. But they would do that where they play it on there. And when he recorded, I'm sure it was before this blizzard. It wasn't, of course, those weren't live. Oh, you're wearing a toga. Everybody's wearing a toga. So, yeah, they would do those promos in advance. So they knew that Vince wasn't going to be there. So this wasn't an announced team they tossed together. But it just worked out that way. And we've got one more match to come, as the Nasty Boys face the Head Shrinkers as we get back. But not before we get to see a WWF Mania. Look at how many pleats does Todd have of those pants? That was, that what they were wearing in the 90s? He was a radio guy, folks. So fashion wasn't on the top of the list. And, although maybe at the time that look was in. There you go. Thanks, Todd. All right. And the Rosati sisters, that's one right there. It's the Nasty Boys, and I guess that's appropriate for this match. As Knobs and Sags make their way to the ring. As they get ready to take on the Head Shrinkers. And Knobs... Look, yeah, he loves... What? Oh, big smooch. All right, see? They love those card girls, especially the Rosatis. And we got Danny Davis in as a referee. All right, they're missing their manager, Afa, who maybe... was delayed somewhere by the weather. Well, you got Samu, Fatu. Very, very, very tough humans. There's the Head Shrinkers ready to tangle with the Nasty Boys, two tough customers as well. And an interesting outfit there. It's a... strange-looking suspenders. Determined to give him a pit stop, apparently. And you see Brian's got a little damage over that left eye. They like to wrestle a little stiff, and sometimes it came back at him. Or that could have happened somewhere out when the some bar or something, who knows. They often tangled with other people. As they never stopped saying what they really thought, no matter what the situation. Yeah, that's how badass these guys, they headbutt each other. There we go. There you go. Right into the corner. Oh, boy. Shot right there to the chops. Knobs comes off, though, with his own clothesline. little double team action. As they launch, the head shrink is now both in the ring. And, whoa, boy, they missed the double clothesline, but Sags comes off, pulls off one of his own. Danny, yeah, trying to get the ring cleared, but Knobs takes advantage. Forearm to the side of the head. There's a tag made. Nasties. Technically sound, right? Work like clocks, right? And we got the crowd behind him. Nasty, they're chanting. Oh, man. And Bartlett there, that was more Vince, where he never really makes a clear word. But I thought you could always hear Vince. It was just very intense, very loud, very grumbly. Oh, Bobby's saying that Afa is in the building. But we're not going to ever find that out. Apparently. And of course, Rob goes on. It's, whoa, boy, shot to the back of the head and a kick. Down goes Sags as we take a brief timeout. We're back. And of course, you know those little dips to black were the full commercial breaks, which have been removed. Thank you. As they continue here, it's the head triggers to turn the tide here. Danny trying to keep things under control here as he keeps trying to keep the ring clear and keep just the two men who are legal. Sags continues to take a pounding. There you go. Now outside of the ring. Samu just body slams Sags outside onto the blue mat. So you got Fatu in there as Sags is dumped back in. And there's a legal tag. So in comes Samu, and they do a little double headbutt there, but that noggin of Sags is pretty thick, so I don't think that did too much damage. But the rest of it's taken care of him. Here we go. Oh, misses with the headbutt off that top turnbuckle. And in comes Fatu and Brian Sags, or Brian Knobs. Come on, Mooney. Body slam clothesline there. Another one. As he starts to clean house here with these two. Big headbutts. But they gets it returned with a double shot there. And Brian, Brian Knobs goes right after him. Oh, I was going to say, I thought they were the Ico products, but that is the craft services, apparently. Oh, man, now the chairs come out. as this erupts into a food fight outside of the ring, and we got mustard and, oh boy, big pans across the head. Oh man. Big right, drops, sags. Chairs still flying. This has just gotten out of control. Sprays in the face of the mustard and then takes the what's left of it in the side of the head of Samu as we just, this just keeps going, man. Wow. Oh, wow. Whose voice is that? I guess I was still around then, huh? There's Freddie. And Freddie Blassie did do a lot of charity work, but so did a lot of the other superstars. This is the behind-the-scenes stuff you talk about. You know, Sergeant Slaughter always doing a lot of work. Nasty Boys and these Make-A-Wish. Yeah. And, this is for real here. These guys did a lot, and that was very important to the WWF. Said between Make-A-Wish and Special Olympics, they were doing something all the time. And Hulk Hogan really, really was among the best at doing that. Hillbilly Jim, Randy Savage. So this is just part of this, Tatanka. But I will say that about the World Wrestling Federation, even back then, and whether or not you can say it was great for their, you know, all about the image or whatever, but whatever the reason, it accomplished a lot of great works. Yeah. See, this guy's talking about, you know, stop smoking campaigns. Randy Savage. Randy was great at these. Oh. That was heartfelt from him. Tom Seaver with Bobby Heenan. Wow. But they were involved in all kinds of charities back then. And to this day, that's continued on. But I do, man, I'll tell you, I have to give the WWF credit for that. And I imagine maybe that was something that they ran at that event that was taking place. But really, got to give them credit. Say what you want about the WWE. Over the years, they have given millions and millions of dollars to charities around the world and done a lot of good. And there you go. As we wrap it up with Rob Bartlett and his imitation of Vince McMahon. There you go. Hey, anytime you got to see Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon in action, not bad. Look at this chair shot. Boom. Boy, yeah. Those guys were amazing.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So there you have it. An episode of Monday Night Raw, as it was live on March 15th, 1993. And what do you think? Do you like the episode? I mean, as I said, it was they did what they could in this one. And that match was entertaining. The Nasty Boys and, of course, the Head Shrinkers, Fatu and Samu. Afa wasn't there, but they held their own in that and got a little entertainment at the end of that when they went over to the table where a number of snacks, because they just wheeled that out from out back, and improvised. Mustard got into it, got some chair shots in there, and there was four people there that Noggins had taken quite a few headshots at that point. But it was good. I enjoyed it, and especially because of the situation. Remember I told you going into this, it was a blizzard. We don't know exactly what the lineup was, but considering they really didn't have a big roster here that night. They had, think about it, they had Razor Ramon, Typhoon, Bob Backlund with Papa Shango, the Nasty Boys, and the Head Shrinkers. So total there, you've got eight superstars for that entire hour. You've got Bobby Heenan, of course, who was always entertaining no matter what he was doing. And you got to see Gorilla with him. And Harvey Whippleman and also the Giant Gonzalez show up. So overall, considering what they had to deal with there, that wasn't a bad episode. As we prepare to roll into WrestleMania 9. And I don't know what I was still doing there, but they had me do that charity spot. But it was close to my departure because I was not there 3 weeks later for WrestleMania 9. I was gone. I didn't never got the chance to wear the toga. So a lot happening back then. And we know that, of course, WrestleMania 9 would be a bit controversial. That was a match that never really sat well with Bret the Hitman Hart. If you've listened to the episode from the show we did at StarCast, he talks a little bit about that. So, he would face Yokozuna, who would take the title and then end up, Hulk does basically a run-in and gets the title from Yokozuna. And that wouldn't last too much longer. Hulk wouldn't be around for too many months later after that. But, that's how things played out at that point. It was a difficult time for the WWF, not only because what was happening financially, business was not tremendous. You had the impending steroid trial coming up, and WCW was starting to put it together, collecting talent. A lot of people were heading south. It was a really odd, strange time in the world of professional wrestling, not just with WWF. It was that way everywhere. So not bad stuff. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed listening to this. Remember, always love to hear from you. You can email me at primetimemooney@gmail.com, primetimemooney@gmail.com. As I mentioned at the top of all this, we've been putting out a lot of content. I know that you may have some hours these days to kill. If you're home working, you need a break, tune in. Listen to one of the current episodes we've got going. You know, every Monday we've got the Network Classics like this one. And also Wednesday, original episodes. This week, we've got Guy Evans as he talks about his book Nitro and a period in professional wrestling that changed the world forever. I mean, really, it did. And which is very cool about this is that we are going to follow this all up as I just did an episode with Eric Bischoff. So we are going to hear it directly from at least some peripheral stuff. But you're going to learn a lot of things about Eric Bischoff maybe you didn't know. And that's an episode that we'll follow up after this one this week. And we're going to have Guy Evans on this episode this week. And then the following week, you'll get to hear from Eric Bischoff, who I've wanted to get on the podcast for a long time. We finally were able to make it happen. And it is a good one. We talked for a long time, over an hour and a half. So you should enjoy that episode as well. But first, be sure and check out the episode with Guy Evans this Wednesday, and then of course the Vault episode on Saturday. They all drop at 6 a.m. Eastern time on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is. Just be sure to check it out, and if you do listen in through Apple Podcasts, be sure and subscribe. That's very important. And then give us a 5-star rating and a review. Love to hear it. So other than that, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's easy, at Primetime Mooney. In the meantime, we will continue to bring you these network classics. Until next time, though, I'm Sean Mooney, and I am out.